Today, we are going to get back to our study of Genesis. We've been studying the book of Genesis this year, and we're looking at the life of Jacob right now. In the past 2 weeks, actually, we've been on different subjects, so I want to do a little review, and if you haven't been following us, hopefully this will kind of give you an idea of what Jacob and his life are like, so today will be meaningful for you. So, Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. Abraham is the father of the Jewish people. He was called by God, sent to what's now the Promised Land. Jacob was not an upstanding person. He was very shrewd. He and his brother were twins. His brother was born first, and in Jewish culture, being the firstborn is very important. And he shrewdly got his brother to give him the right as the firstborn. He just came in hungry one day from hunting, and he said, I'm going to die of hunger. And he said, give me some of that, you know, lentil stew you're making. And Jacob said, sure, I'll give it to you. Just give me the birthright first. And the Bible says Esau was a godless man. He didn't value his birthright as the firstborn, and so he gave it to Jacob. Then later on, Jacob actually, at the prompting of his mother, deceived his dad, who was now going blind, and he dressed up like Esau and put fur on his hands because Esau was a hairy man, the Bible says, and he managed to get his brother's blessing. He stole his brother's blessing. Well, the result of that was bad because his brother said, well, I'm going to kill him as soon as dad dies, and so he had to run away. He went to his mother's family, which is about 500 miles away, and we're going to find out today it was 20 years before he came back. Yet, in the midst of all this, God appears to Jacob and promises to bless him with the promise of Abraham. Okay, I'm going to read that to you. It's from Genesis 28, verse 13. This is where Jacob is on his first night away, running from home. And God visits him and says, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I will give it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will cover the land from east to west and north to south. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I will be with you. I will protect you wherever you go. I will someday bring you safely back to this land. I will be with you constantly until I've finished giving you everything I have promised you. Wow, exactly. Someone just did a wow. If you're Jacob and you know that you've just deceived your dad and you're aware of your own folly and sinfulness, do you really expect God to show up in a dream and tell you that you're going to inherit all this land and all the families of the earth are going to be blessed through you? No. That's a shocking statement. So let's just pray for a minute. Father, I thank you for this story and how you used Jacob, a sinful man, to accomplish your purposes. I pray that would impart faith to us, that weak that we might be or sinful that we might be, you can use us to accomplish your purposes. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so number one on your outline, if you're filling in the outline, God's promise to Jacob was, I am with you how long? Until I do what I have promised. Now, that's a really great promise from God. I'm with you until. And secondly, what do we learn about God? He chooses what kind of people? Sinful people for his purposes. He didn't wait to find the perfect guy who was upstanding and did everything just right. He picked this guy who's a deceiver, who's self-centered. Romans 4:5, it's the second scripture on the bottom of your sheet. Paul wrote, to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. So the essence of the gospel message is that, as we see in Genesis, people are flawed. People are sinful. Does that include us? Yes, it does. How can we be right with God? By trying harder? trying to be a better person? No. Paul says, when you believe in Jesus Christ, it's counted to you as righteousness, that God views you as being right with him simply because you put your faith in Jesus. That's awesome. So he justifies ungodly people. Praise God. Then in Genesis 29, Jacob arrives safely to his relative's hometown. By a divine appointment, he meets Rachel, his cousin, who's this beautiful woman, at a well where she's watering her sheep. He falls in love with her. As we heard in the sharing and testimonies, he agreed to work 7 years so he could marry her, and it seemed just like a few days because of his love for her. And so Laban, his uncle, on the wedding night, it's dark. We imagine Jacob's had a lot to drink. He actually brings his oldest daughter, Leah, and substitutes her in instead of Rachel. So when Jacob wakes up in the morning, he realizes he just spent the night with Leah. And he's like, what happened? And he's yelling at Laban, and Laban goes, hey, it's not our custom to have the younger daughter married first. So just give her the bridal week, then I'll give you Rachel, but you'll have to work 7 more years. So what do we see about Laban? He is a real conniver, right? I mean, he is a very manipulative guy. But number four in your outline, Jacob reaped what he had sown. So when you deceive other people, what happens to you? People are going to deceive you. But if you make it a practice to be generous to other people, to be kind to other people, what's going to happen to you? You'll find that there'll be people who are generous and kind to you. It's just a principle in God's kingdom, God's world. So then, now Jacob's married to two women who are sisters. How's that for an awkward situation? And these sisters feel this competition. He loves Rachel, but doesn't really love Leah. So God notices that and starts giving Leah children. Leah ends up with 4 children, and it creates this great tension. But we love that, you know, God sees Leah and took note of her. So then in Genesis 30, I'm going to pick it up again. Verse 1, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. When Rachel saw that she wasn't having any children, she became jealous of her sister. Give me children or I die, she exclaimed to Jacob. Jacob flew into a rage. Am I God? He's the only one able to give you children. Then Rachel told him, here, sleep with my servant Bilhah. She will bear children for me. So Rachel gave him Bilhah to be his wife, and Jacob slept with her. Bilhah became pregnant and presented him with a son. Rachel named him Dan, for she said, God has vindicated me, or God has judged. That's the meaning of the name. Then Bilhah became pregnant again and gave Jacob a second son. Rachel named him Naphtali, which means wrestling or struggling, for I have had an intense struggle with my sister, and I am winning. Is it safe to say this is a slightly dysfunctional household? All right. And meanwhile, Leah realized that she wasn't getting pregnant anymore, so she gave her servant Zilpah to Jacob to be his wife. Soon Zilpah presented him with another son. Leah named him Gad, for she said, how fortunate I am, the meaning of Gad. Then Zilpah produced a second son, and Leah named him Asher, for she said, what joy is mine. The other woman will consider me happy indeed. So I just want to pause there. So again, here's this family. It's all messed up. Now there's like 4 wives. There's 1 main wife, a kind of secondary life, and then 2 kind of lesser wives beyond that. And God just puts it all in the Bible. Jealousy, rivalry. I'm struggling with my sister and I'm winning. If you look on your sheet, number 5, God never sugarcoats his word. He shows us how people really are. If they're a mess, he shows them to be a mess. If they're good and they do something really wonderful, he puts that in there. So I really appreciate God's word for that. So after this, Leah has 2 more sons. She has a daughter named Dinah. Then down in verse 22, I'm going to read again. Then God remembered Rachel's plight and answered her prayers by giving her a child. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. God has removed my shame, she said, and she named him Joseph, for she said, may the Lord give me yet another son. And Joseph means may he add. So even after getting a son, what does she want? Another one, okay? The competition is on for who can have the most children. A friend of mine, that some of you know, Garrett Smith, he was talking to us about Genesis. He's a pastor. He said, it's really wonderful in Genesis how you look at, this is a man's world, right? If you think it's a man's world now, it was really a man's world 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. And God took note of all these women. Sarah sent Hagar away because she wanted her to, you know, have a child as her servant, and that child would belong to her. That didn't work. God saw Hagar. God spoke to her. We see Leah's unloved. Well, it says God saw that Leah was unloved and enabled her to conceive. So she'd have something to rejoice in and be proud of. And now we hear, he even sees Rachel's plight. Answered her prayers. She says, oh, he's taken away my reproach. So that's the next point. God took note of women and helped them. And that's very encouraging. All right, we're going to continue on. Soon after Joseph was born to Rachel, Jacob said to Laban, I want to go back home. Let me take my wives and children, for I've earned them from you. Let me be on my way. You know I have fully paid for them with my service to you. Please don't leave, Laban replied, for I've learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because you are here. How much do I owe you? Whatever it is, I'll pay it. Jacob replied, you know how faithfully I've served you these many years, how your flocks and herds have grown. You had little indeed before I came. Your wealth has increased enormously. The Lord has blessed you from everything I do. But now, what about me? When should I provide for my own family? What wages do you want? Laban replied. Jacob said, don't give me anything at all. Just do one thing, and I'll go back to work for you. Let me go out among your flocks today and remove all the sheep and goats that are speckled or spotted, along with a dark-colored sheep. Give them to me as my wages. This will make it easy for you to see whether or not I've been honest. If you find in my flock any white sheep or goats that are not speckled, you will know that I've stolen them from you. All right, Laban agreed. It will be as you have said. Now get this, verse 35. But that very day, Laban went out and removed all the male goats that were speckled and spotted, the females that were speckled and spotted with any white patches, all the dark-colored sheep. He placed them in the care of his sons. They took them 3 days' distance from where Jacob was. Meanwhile, Jacob stayed and cared for Laban's flocks. Wow. So Laban is at it again. So let's look at this just for a minute. Laban perceives that he is prospering because of Jacob. He's prospering because of Jacob. Now, what is the promise to Abraham? If you go back to Genesis 12, one of the things he promised says, I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be what? A blessing. Okay, that's one of the goals of our church, that we've been blessed, so we want to be a blessing to people around us every week. So that happened. So number 7, the blessing of Abraham came to Laban through whom? Jacob. Isn't that kind of amazing? So here's this deceptive guy, and he's reaping what he's sown, but yet God is blessing Laban through Jacob because he made a promise to Abraham, his grandfather. Wow. It says Laban discerned this through divination. We don't know exactly what that is, but divination in general means you're seeking, like through omens or signs or maybe through spirits or something, you're trying to gain knowledge. So if someone gains knowledge that's accurate through divination, does that make divination right? No. Good. Glad you got that. Yeah, divination is outlawed in the law of Moses. God wants us to seek him. God wants us to seek him. Next point. Why does Jacob ask for speckled and spotted sheep? It's kind of like an interesting request, right? So he says, well, this way, we imagine most of the sheep are white, right? Because Laban's not going to give him what's the majority of his flock. So we imagine most of the sheep and goats are white, but they're speckled and spotted and dark-collared ones. So he asks for those. The next section, I'm not going to read it, but he then takes branches from trees and peels back the bark, and he puts them by the watering troughs. And when the sheep and goats come and mate, what happens is they end up having spotted and speckled offspring. So when you're reading this in the Bible, the reason I point this out, you read it, it seems kind of weird. It seems like, is this some kind of magical or occultic kind of thing? And the answer is, we don't really know why Jacob did that. But shaving the bark off of branches doesn't make the sheep have the kind of offspring you want. If you read ahead, why did Jacob ask for the speckled and spotted? The answer is God told him. Look at your scriptures at the bottom of your sheet. Genesis 31, verses 10 through 13. Look at this with me, please. Jacob's explaining to his two maid wives that he wants to leave. He goes, I had a dream and saw that the male goats mating with the females were streaked, speckled, and spotted. Then in my dream, the angel of God said to me, Jacob. I replied, yes, here I am. The angel said, look up. You'll see that only the streaked, speckled, and spotted males are mating with the females of your flock. For I have seen how Laban has treated you. I am the God who appeared to you at Bethel, the place where you anointed the pillar of stone and made your vow to me. Now get ready and leave this country and return to the land of your birth. So God showed him in a dream what was going to happen. God is now going to turn the tables on Laban the deceiver and cause Jacob to prosper. There's going to be a reversal here. So there's kind of two ways. I looked in two study Bibles and a commentary. Nobody had any like great insights about the branches being peeled. So I'm going to give you the Dave Hill version, all right? One, it's maybe God told him, like, hey, cut those branches and do that, and just didn't record it in Scripture. That's a possibility. Two, what I think is more likely is that God spoke to Jacob, and Jacob, being who he was, thought he needed to do something to make what God said happen. Right? What about his mom? His mom inquired of God when there's twins wrestling in her womb, and God told her the older will serve the younger. And so when her husband's about to bless Esau, she's thinking, oh, that's the wrong person. And so she comes up with a scheme to deceive her own husband, and what's the fruit of that? Her favorite son has to run away, and he doesn't return for 20 years. And the point here is this, God would have brought about the older serving the younger without Rebecca's interference. Does that make sense? And so the point I want us to get, God would have those sheep produce the spotted and speckled without Jacob peeling branches. Number nine, beware the temptation to try and make things happen on your own strength. Just beware. It's just a common human tendency. We all have it. God knows how to accomplish his purpose his way. Did Jacob's fleshly mistakes over the years stop God? That's what I want us to get from this. Look at this guy. And God's using him. And we actually see Jacob's making some progress, right? Jacob's maturing. He's beginning to understand that God has everything under control. He's starting to give God credit for what's happening from these scriptures we look at. God will work through your errors and fleshly follies as well, as long as you have a heart to follow him. He knows we're going to mess up. God is with us when we're immature, when we're brand new Christians. God's with us when we get upset and make rash decisions. He's with us just like we're with our own children. When our children do something stupid, do we kick them out of the family? That's it. Your history. Someone's nodding. You got removed from the family, Josh, and twice? Okay, you've been disowned twice. No, we don't treat our own children that way. We reprove them. We discipline them. We teach them what's right. So that's what God does. God disciplines us. He allows us sometimes to suffer for what we've done wrong, but he's got a goal in mind. He still has our good in mind. Good. We see that Jacob's growing in his relationship with God. He's been faithfully serving Laban for over 14 years. We find out there's another six. Maybe that's what all these flocks are now amassing to him every year. And Laban's sons are now angry. It's like, you now Jacob's the rich one. What's going on here? Jacob's come to a place of recognizing that God is in charge. He's sovereign. He works things out. Have you come to that place? You're getting there. Okay, we're getting there, right? See, we have to believe this when it doesn't look like God's in charge, when it doesn't feel like God's in charge. We have to stand on his word and say, no, God's really still in charge. That's what takes faith. Paul says we walk by faith, not by sight. In Genesis 31, I'm going to read to you from verses 5 to 10. This is, again, where he's talking to Rachel and Leah about leaving. He said, your father's turned against me and is not treating me like he used to. But the God of my father has been with me. You know how hard I've worked for your father. He's tricked me, breaking his wage agreement with me again and again. But God has not allowed him to do me any harm. For if he said the speckled animals were mine, the whole flock began to produce speckled lambs. When he changed his mind and said I could have the streaked ones, all the lambs were born streaked. In this way, God has made me wealthy at your father's expense. And then he went on and related the dream that he had. And what I want to get to here is this. One, he's seeing God's hand. Two, he said, the God of my father has been with me. So what's the original promise? He's running away from home. He's at a place he calls Bethel, the house of God. God says, I will be with you. And I will bring you back here after I've fulfilled all the promises that I've made. God is faithful. So on your sheet there, Jacob came to recognize that God is in charge. The next point, God is faithful to fulfill his what? Promises. And we need to believe that, whether it looks that way or not. And this is a point I like to share. A friend of ours shared with Ingrid years ago, your God is bigger than your failures. Yeah, say that to a neighbor. Your God is bigger than your failures. Isn't that good news? He's sovereign. He's unstoppable. We sing that one song. He's unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. Could Laban stop what God wanted to do to bless Jacob? No, he couldn't do that. Was it easy or hard for Jacob to inherit those promises? Hard. It was hard, right? He had to work 14 years. Did it take a short or long time? A long time. Was God faithful or not? He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful in your lives right now. He's looking for you to trust him afresh. Your Lord has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus said, I'm with you even to the end of the world. Jesus said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will not pass away. Your Lord bore all your sins on the cross to give you grace and love and hope. Your God is bigger than your failures. He's unstoppable, and he's with you. Amen. Let's have the worship team up for a closing song. Let's take a moment to pray about what you've heard. Where are you struggling believing that God's with you or that God's going to work things out? I encourage you to pray. Put your trust in him afresh. This is your opportunity. We're not in a hurry to leave. We're just going to take time to pray and sing a song. Father, I thank you for everyone being here this morning. We thank you for your word, that it's true, that it imparts hope to us. If you can accomplish your will through Jacob, certainly you can accomplish your will in our lives. And so I pray, Father, that as everyone's just talking to you right now on their own, that you would encourage them, that faith and trust in you would come into their hearts. In Jesus' name.